sometimes in the last year or so, I've asked myself the question, when I have arrived at the age I am, is it wise for me to attempt to continue on? But I have not been released to the satisfaction of my own mind, and therefore, as my companion said the other day, "Dad, you must go." But before entering into what I might have to say to you, I want to ask you a question. And I want you to hold up your hand, not in answering the question, but that I may know you have a desire for a qualification of what I said to you at the close or near the close of the prayer service this morning. How many understood me perfectly? How many would like to hear me tell you that experience just for a moment or two in order that you may get it clearly as it happened, and then what was said, the fulfillment of that dream I had 2 mornings before I left my home city of Regina? How many would like to hear that made clear to them? Let's see your hands. Oh, a lot of them. One of the council came to me a short time ago, and he didn't get it very clear, and he wanted to know exactly what I had said toward the close of my talk to you. The dream is or was, I had to come to Grand Junction. I was to come to Grand Junction. I don't know all the reasons why. I may know some, I don't know them all. And in the dream, I thought I'd go down here under considerable amount of trouble. They had me all over, no, I shouldn't, that's extreme. They had me over a lot of the United States. I started out on a bus, I bought a ticket to Grand Junction. But I can't tell you all where they had me because of your bus service and the difficulties they are having. They had me on the train for over 200 miles. But however I got down here, and the first brother Robert met me at the bus and brought me out, and he said, "They're in having prayer meeting. Would you like to go down?" And I said, "I surely would." And we come down, and they were in the act of praying, and we stood out there, and I said to Robert, "Oh, you haven't got to walk around that side of the building." "No, oh, no." Well, in the dream, I came down here, and I came in the walk there, and went the walk that way with the thought I was coming over along this way, for I had seen a group of people, seemingly very happy and contented. And I walked along that walk and stood up behind them to observe what was going on, for I didn't know. And all of a sudden, I hadn't been there only a moment or two, when they began to proclaim, "A miracle has been had. A miracle has been had." 3 times, "A miracle has been had." And I looked around this way and that way, and I couldn't see upon whom the miracle was performed, nor could I see who it was that performed the miracle, because I had an idea that somebody had been administered to and they had been instantaneously healed. And I've experienced that many times. I saw those kind of miracles. And if we're not enjoying them, there's something the matter. And we had better ascertain where the trouble lies. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Well, I was disappointed when I looked around the side of the building and there was no walk there and nobody was there. And I became discouraged, very much so. I mentioned it to Brother Robert. However, we come in and was with you for a little season in prayer service, and we've been here with you from then until now, and I want to express my appreciation of my privilege of associating with you again in this great, wonderful brotherly work. I appreciate it. So I sat over there during the prayer service. I heard so many prayers. I heard so many testimonies. I heard so many songs of praise, which was a pleasure to me, and I did enjoy them. But again, I was plagued with the idea or the thought, why was I shown to come to Grand Junction and there I would see that walk and the people there at the side of this building and that they were testifying a miracle had been performed. And I sat there still being disturbed a little when on toward the close in my meditations and bewilderment the Spirit of God came upon me in a remarkable degree. And I was told by the Spirit that this service this morning was the fulfillment of that promise, and now I have seen the miracle that was to be, I was to find when I come to Grand Junction at this time. Now, I hope that's clear to you, for I have no desire to misrepresent. I have no desire to be prominent or outstanding in any way. I do believe that God has revealed himself to me a few times, not too many. It makes me very happy when I see them fulfilled from time to time. There's some yet to be fulfilled. Now I want to say something else before I start to talk to you. I want you to know that whatever I may say tonight has no personal attack on anybody. I do not believe to too much of a personal attack, especially when I stand in the stand, because that's the time when I've got the whip and you just got to take it whether you like it or not, and I don't like that. I have never made a personal attack on anybody, anywhere, at any time. and I hope you understand me now. I do not know all that I may say. I do not know. But I do know this, that I am very much concerned about we, the members of the Church of Christ, and I may include those who have embraced the angel message, I'm concerned. I want to go back, and some of you will excuse me if I make quotations that I have used on more than one occasion. I don't know whether you hear, but I know I used them in Phoenix last November. And I must go back and review some of those quotations that leads me up to what I have a desire to say to you, which includes Brother Jordan as well as every other individual who has named the name of Christ. I go back. First of all, I want you to remember that first song, How Firm a Foundation, You Saints of the Lord. How many believe we have a sound foundation? Are we demonstrating it by our actions? That we are on a solid foundation. We have an organization. And may I suggest to you, before going too far into what I desire to say, that is one of the reasons, not all of them, but one of the reasons that I transferred the Church of Christ, because of organization. And I hope, and I shall pray, these young men coming into the quorum, young people coming into the church, that you will see to it that you stand upon that solid foundation that Jesus Christ laid. How I would like to go into that in details, but my time would not permit. Hang on. Regardless of what may come to pass in the church or in the world or wherever you may be, hang on. To that solid foundation, and continue to keep the commandments of God in detail, that you and I may stand under divine providence and protection and care, because I'm going to tell you some things that's going to come not very far away before I sit down, I expect. I want to go back and to show us, because of violation of law or commandments of God, some of the things that happened many days ago, many years ago. Now I want you to go back, and when you go home, I want you to go and get your Bible. I rather hurt somebody's feelings a week or two ago, and I only said it as one of my foolish remarks. Get down your Bible and brush the dust off it. I don't think I need to say that to you. Get down your Bibles and brush the dust off it. But I want you to make a note of some of the things I draw to your attention. And not alone listen to those that I may quote to you, but that when you go home you will sit down and read them as I have read them many, many times. And what was the time of Daniel? You remember he was a lad when he was designated as a prophet of God. And he started out, you young fellows, I don't know that you're going to be prophets. I don't even know you're going to be preachers. I don't know that you're even going to be wonderful men or wonderful women. I don't know that. But this young fellow called Daniel started out and he undertook to do the bidding of Almighty God morning, noon, and night. He had two sons. And they were made judges in Israel. And they began to accept bribes, these two sons, to render judgment that would be favorable to probably some fellow higher up or a group of people that wanted something. And they rendered judgment along the lines that they were requested because they had been given a bribe. The people of Israel saw this, what was going on, and they went to Samuel. And they said, give us a king that he may judge us as those nations round about have a king and they're being judged by the king. And Samuel tried to argue the question with them. But no, they insisted and became more vehement and determined they were going to have a king. And so Samuel thought, why, they have rejected me as a prophet of God. And he went to God about it. A wise thing to do. And he told God the circumstance. He said, they have rejected me. Your prophet rejected me. God said back to him, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. And hearken to the voice of the people. And it was sore blow to Samuel, I imagine. Hearken to the voice of the people. My brothers and sisters, don't you be allowed or allow changes and alterations to come in of organization as well as faith and practice. Do not allow it. Stand by the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive, when the time comes that is necessary, that which will be beneficial to you and to me. So they got the king. Well, you'd better read the story in both 1 and 2 Samuel. You'd better read it. I want to pass on down now. I'm going to refer, and I was glad it was referred to yesterday afternoon, the prophet Isaiah, one of the grandest men of the Old Testament. I love to read it. Dozens, I could almost say hundreds of times. What does he say in the 58th chapter? Cry aloud. Spare not. And I say to my brethren, cry aloud. Declare against these innovations that creep in or are creeping in. Declare against them. And stand by the basis and the fundamentals of that which was given back in 1829 and 1830 and 1831. I'm going to refer to that a little later on. Cry aloud, spare not. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. I'm going to refer to that a little later on. Oh, say, I forgot to take a text. I'd better have that one. I had one. Well, what's the matter with me? I got in too big a hurry, I guess. as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, and we're not far away from that time. Put it down, Brother Jordan said so. Some of you will see it fulfilled. As it was in the days my mind slipped just a moment. In the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. I want that to sink. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was that? They were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and took them all away. Emphasize, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And that's just almost around the corner. And you and I better take a little wisdom. We'd better see where we are standing. We had better see the course we are pursuing. We had better see just the way we are heading. I say that warningly, not critically. We had better take notice just where we are and what we are and how we are proceeding. Now, true, it will not again, this earth of ours, be destroyed by a flood. I'm going to ask you in a moment or two, which would you prefer? This earth is going to be destroyed by fire. And I ask you the question, which would you prefer? Being drowned in the earth covered with water, or have a gigantic fire pass over the land and destroy in a similar manner as it was destroyed back under in the days of Noah? You and I must decide. And as I have often referred, I want to point out to you that there is only two places of safety: Mount Zion, second chapter of Joel, Mount Zion, and Jerusalem. But here's something, don't be fooled. And in the remnant whom the Lord will call. And I want to emphasize the point, that remnant is not the Church of Christ as it exists. And if you believe the Bible, I will show you that it will not be the remnant whom the Lord will choose. That is, if you believe the Bible, of which I do. Now, my brothers and my sisters, let's get serious. And let's just see if we are proceeding, and I'm not saying that we aren't. Let us see if we are proceeding along the lines that we should proceed in order that we can enjoy this statement: nevertheless, my people will I preserve. Bible and Book of Mormon. Nevertheless, my people will I preserve. But the point I want to make is this, that are we really, all of us, the people of God that we should be? Are we? I'm not going to say you are. No. You ask yourself the question. I'm busy looking after T.J. Jordan And I find it's been quite a difficult task for some 80-odd years. Difficult task to keep track of that fellow. But I want to go and show you now a few things that are necessary. How many of you believe in a celestial glory? I'm not going to ask you to hold up your hand. What do you say to yourself? How many believe in a celestial glory? If you and I are going to enjoy a celestial glory, we must keep a celestial law. Mark that down. We must keep a celestial law. And I'm going to touch you a little upon the points. Can't cover it all. Because I believe that there are things in our temporalities that have an effect upon our qualification as to enjoy celestial glory. Along financial lines. I'm not going to touch that tonight. I'm going to touch upon a few other things. You all will remember, no doubt, you will remember the 25th of Matthew. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And then he goes on and says, I was in prison and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. And also several things that they've done that seem to be beneficial or necessary or give him the right to say to them, come ye blessed of my Father and enjoy that kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then they said to him, well, when saw you in that condition? What was the reply? Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When I come in contact with that back a long time ago, I used to get puzzled over the statement made to Saul of Tarsus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, hello, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecuted. And I couldn't imagine why Jesus, Paul never saw Jesus. He may have known about him, but according to the record, I've never found any record yet that would assure me that he ever come in contact with Jesus. And it puzzled me a little bit until I come across that statement, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. But there's another class. He called these that was on his right hand, his brethren, but there was another class, seemingly equal in numbers. I say that without what you might call authority because I do not know, but it looked like that. And same was said to them. And then they said, well, when did we see thee like this and we didn't do it to you? Again he said, inasmuch as ye done it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you done it unto me, and there were to go into damnation. And that fits in so nicely to the statement made, 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. How is the oil in your lamps? How is the oil in Brother Jordan's lamp? Is my lamp trimmed and burning that will show light? And when the command goes out, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The wise with the oil in the lamps, and the lamps cleaned and burning, went into the marriage supper of the Lamb. But they went. The other class wanted to borrow oil from them. They said, not so, unless we do not have enough for you and us both. You go and buy. They went to buy. But when they come back, whether they had oil or not, I do not know. The door was shut. My brother, my sister, don't let's get the door shut. Let's be careful. Let's ascertain just what we are and where we are going. And what is the end of it going to be? Let's make that a solemn time of investigation. Come on, I'll touch on something else for just a moment or two. We'll go to the Book of Mormon. I want to show you something else. That is a qualification in the law pertaining to our advent to the celestial glory. Second chapter of Jacob. One of the grand men, in my estimation, of the Book of Mormon times. I love to read that man's record. A genuine, he was a genuine man, servant of God. He tells us that he didn't go out into the ministry until he received his errand. And when he was sent, and he went to his brethren, both in the flesh and in the church, and he declared this message, which is only a part of his many messages. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. I want to go now to the Inspired Translation. I don't feel bad about it. Brother Jordan believes in the Inspired Translation. Whether you do or not is immaterial. And you'll find it in Matthew. And establish, seek ye first the kingdom of God and establish its righteousness. And then shall all things be added unto you. But going back to the Book of Mormon, second chapter of Jacob. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, and that they may be rich like unto you. But before you seek for riches, seek for the kingdom of God. Seek for the kingdom of God. And after you have obtained through a huge bank account or storing up with property of some kind or the other, that isn't what it says. Doesn't say that at all. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, that they may be rich like unto you. But before you seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after you have attained the hope in Christ, then ye shall keep riches. I want to tell you that one thing that I learned very amazingly just 2 days before I come away. One of my nephews came into our home with his wife. I didn't ask him, but he sat down to tell me just the condition he was in financially. I don't know why. A young man, a bishop in the church, very devoted, so was his wife. They stood with me while I was having considerable trouble and the difficulty a few months ago. And he told me, I don't care whether I have a crop this year or next year. I have sufficient on my farm to take care of us for several years. And he sat down and wrote in figures. He now has 5 sections of land, and he said, Uncle Tom, it's paper. I don't know what else. That is the result. I didn't know that. That is the result of his faithfulness in the gospel economy of Jesus Christ. I believe the fulfillment of that statement. After you have obtained the hope in Christ, then you shall seek riches. What for? To do good. To clothe the naked. To feed the hungry. Something like what Isaiah says. My brother will pardon me if I quote it again. He quoted to me yesterday. And I kind of musingly said to him, we were last night and this morning, he's told me that all my thunder. I'm not saying that to criticize. I sometimes, you know, being Irish, I have to say a few foolish things. But I want to get what Isaiah says. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? He quoted that splendidly yesterday afternoon. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Goes on and says, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. I don't think that means altogether along temporal lines. I think it means spiritually. Give your bread to the hungry, to invite the poor to your house, to invite the poor to your house, and hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And then he said, and I haven't quoted it all, there's one or two items I didn't get in there. You remember what he quoted. He quoted it all exactly as it is. And then, I want to emphasize that, and then, your light shall be as the morning. Here is a valuable one. Put it to the test. And then shall thy light be as the morning, and your health shall spring forth spirit. I ask the question, is that why some of us are sick? Because we have failed? I'm not answering for you. I'm going to have to answer for T.J. Joy. And then shall your house spring forth speedily. Or perchance you may call upon the servants, as we saw here, I believe it was yesterday morning, come forward, and the elders administered to them that when even we have to go that far and ask the elders to administer to us, God will hear that prayer and answer. 2 years ago, I was in very bad shape physically. I happened to be way down in central Missouri. And I went to a home with my brother. I was awful hungry, too. And the sister was getting a standard meal there, and I was watching that table. I thought, goodness, that's a nice lot of food. Elijah wasn't so badly crippled up that I really would like to go to that table and help myself. But in God, my trouble got worse as I sat there. And I couldn't get off my chair to even go over to the table. And my brother came and said, come on, Tom, don't be ready. And I said, he's here now. I said to him, I think I'd better be administered to before I attempt to get up to go over the table. And you know, that was another number 12 there with him and myself. And I suggested that we have prayer. Another young brother offered prayer. And running my head with oil. And the brother is present here today. Laid his hands on me with another young brother. Almost immediate relief came. However, it was sufficiently common that I got up of my own accord and went over to the table and sat down. And I did enjoy a good meal. And before I finished the meal, there wasn't that single twinge of my human difficulty. Not one! And I stand here before you tonight, and from that day to this, it never has returned. That's your privilege. When you and I live according to what God has required of us, that's our privilege, and I promise that to you tonight. That's your privilege. I do not mean to emphasize the point too strong that we should just dip it up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I don't believe that. No. I don't believe that. But I do believe in a demonstration of our love to our brothers and sisters. It is a demonstration of love to God when we keep His commandments that He has given us, and then we can get on our knees and say, Father in heaven, this is what I require. And that prayer will be answered if you and I are doing what we ought to do, keeping His commandments from day to day. I got several letters not too long ago. I'm not going to tell you who they come from, because I will not betray confidence. asking me a lot of questions about several things in the church over the last year or 2 years. I say to them, everybody here, you do what you want to do. My wife said to me about 2 months ago, I was free. Dad, I'm not sending you any more time. See what they have done. And now, sir, I'm not sending another dollar. The first thing that she does when the check, the money comes into our home, and that has to be taken out of the debt. They tried it. It has to be laid to one side and never touched. I believe it's a situation whatsoever. But she's not going to send me anymore. Sweetheart, you can't do things that are really. No. You can't do things that are really. And I've heard it. I hope some of the individuals that this is a great tithing is over $900 every year. If he tells the truth and he tells me that, and I don't know what he says about it. And the money don't send any more tithes. You can't do things like that. How did you come to pay tithes? Well, we were very poor 10 years ago. We didn't have enough food in the house. We were very poor. And the wife said, calling her husband by name, we were almost distracted. But we lived in the prison, the opportunity of a job. And her husband said, I believe I could do that job. And they got in the top of the car and they drove down to the place and they were going to get an application and it will be considered with the rest that they have on hand when they come in. So they put in an application. And they went home and they were like every good Robinson should be. We've got down on the knees together, unitedly, and told God, if you help, I can't mention his name, I mean I will. Because to get that job, 1/10 of every dollar that comes into our home, he's huge. He got the job. And today he's the manager. And his title amounts to over $900 a year. I use that as an illustration. I know these people. I don't know people that they think I do. I can't have that with them. And my estimation tonight, I say, let's get back here and get it. My estimation to all people in this part of the country, and whatever they reside, keep the commandments of God, and in doing it in honesty, justice, and with kindness of the building, God will recognize that both clergy, physically, and simply, is recognized. But it's not the city, nor much attention to it. Thank you.
Thank you.